Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, gold and silver, are they going to continue to be hot?
Yeah, I've certainly positioned the resource trader portfolio that way, so maybe I'm talking my own book, but things really seem to be picking up. We've had a lot of buying from China, which is always, you know, people always see that as bullish. The problem is Chinese buying can like be turned off like turning off a spigot, but right now it's in our favor. And I think a big thing that's helping gold is in last week's meeting, the U.S. Federal Reserve really penciled in 3 rate cuts this year. They reiterated that's what they're aiming for. And the first one should be in June. And so people are starting to anticipate that. As interest rates go up, commodities usually struggle. As interest rates go down, commodities usually do better. That's because commodities don't pay interest. So with the broad market expecting interest rates to go down, then that should be bullish for commodities, especially ones like gold.
Anything going on with uranium?
No. We did see a bounce off support around 85. It's up around 88 as you and I talk right now. It could go back down, could go up. It's certainly off the highs that it hit not too long ago. That seems to have sucked all of the optimism out of the market. I still think the fundamentals look excellent. We only have 2 uranium positions on. You know, we took profits on a whole bunch more. I'm not adding more until I see stocks really turn around. I haven't seen that yet. I still think this is going to be a great year for uranium. It's just at the present time, money is looking at other things. I think Bitcoin, frankly, is sucking away a lot of the interest that we'd see in uranium right now. That's where a lot of speculation seems to be going, is into not only Bitcoin, but the altcoins as well.
Going back to gold and silver, will the junior miners ever pick up?
You know, they've started to, though not nearly as much as you might think, considering what's happened with the price of gold and the price of silver. I mean, they look better. One thing you have to remember is that many of these companies keep issuing shares, not maybe on a regular basis, but a semi-regular basis. And every time they do that, they dilute shareholders. And so they get less cash flow per share. And that's kind of what we see in a lot of these companies. You're looking at them and saying, geez, this thing's at a multi-year low. Why isn't it going higher? Well, how many shares does it have now versus how many shares it had back then? If it's created 100 million shares in the meantime, you can see why that's happening. So I like some great junior producers. I'm not buying junior explorers. I'm still not at that stage. Maybe that stage will come. But right now, we're at the stage where the price of gold is going higher, and you can make excellent money, I believe, in both the larger producers and the mid-cap producers as well. So I'm not moving down the scale yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't come soon. It's just right now, you know, that's not what really looks active right now. But I think that will happen eventually.
Mexico's talking about banning open pit mines. What does that do to the supply of silver? I believe Mexico is one of the world's biggest producers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're talking about it. Will they really do it? I mean, I have to think once they realize what that's going to do to their mining industry, that'll be, you know, that would be quite a change. I don't know whether I believe they're actually going to do it. They might be wanting something else. It's hard to say. So I'm not actually worried about that right now. If it starts to get traction, then I'll worry about it. But right now I'm worried about other things instead.
Now, I know open pit mines look horrible while they're doing it, but in Alberta, where they've had open pit mines, they've turned them into provincial parks where that mine becomes a giant lake stocked with fish surrounded by beautiful trees. You just have to make sure the mining company, you know, restores it back to the way it was. Make that part of the contract.
Right. And we have to remember this plan comes from Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. There you go. There's his name, right? But it's really like he dropped a dead ball in the room. It's not like anyone's really ready to pick that up. So when did he propose that? Was it February, I think, sometime? Just there hasn't been anyone saying, yeah, that's a good idea. In fact, I know that the Mexican mining community is pushing back. And politicians come up with a lot of crazy ideas. I think he was just testing the waters on this one. And he's going to find those waters are pretty cold towards his idea. That's my view on it. So I'll worry about other things instead.
Copper, is it going to be the next really hot commodity?
Oh, God. Copper is supposed to be the next hot commodity for the last 5 years, isn't it? I mean, we took a small gain on a copper position just because I was getting so freaking frustrated on it. And a good thing we did, because copper's been down for like the last 2 weeks, right? Of course, I took gains before copper did that breakout back in early March. That's when I was kicking myself. I mean, it did look like a breakout. Maybe it's just coming back to test that breakout. This is when I wish I could put up charts on your podcast. It looks like copper came back to test that breakout. Will it find support here? You know what? This is all really, there are two things affecting the price of copper. One is China, world's biggest user of copper. Are they going to jumpstart their economy? There has been some progress there. The other is the lack of new mines down in like South America, right? I mean, we know that there are mines down there that are winding down and stuff like that, so that might pinch copper from the supply side. Copper is one of the most useful metals. It really is. It's fantastic for all kinds of uses. I think copper should be higher. The market does not agree with me. I'm currently not in the copper space just because I got so frustrated with what was happening with the copper stocks that we did own.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. What's your outlook for crude?
I've been turning more bullish, not only on crude, but pretty much on the entire energy complex. 2 weeks ago, I added a refiner to Supercycle Investor, and this week I added it's a small cap. It's about to become a mid-cap oil producer to Resource Trader. It's becoming a mid-cap by acquiring with another small company. Both companies are on the bottom of the cost scale, which I think will be really, really helpful. Now, we did see a big build in oil in the latest U.S. government reports. It seems to be plenty of oil around. However, we're also seeing Russia cut its oil exports. It actually had boosted its oil exports because the Ukrainians had bombed something like 30% of Russian refining capacity. And so it had all that oil that it couldn't refine, so it just exported the oil. But that takes Russia way out of line with with agreements that it had made with OPEC and OPEC Plus to hold production down. So now Russia says it is going to cut its oil exports as well. And so that led JP Morgan to say that oil is going to hit $90 this summer. Even despite that big build that we saw in oil, which was reported on Tuesday, on Wednesday, oil stocks are holding up just fine. Maybe because of the JP Morgan forecast, maybe because people are looking at that and some other things as well. There's supposed to be an increase in global oil demand of about 1.5 million barrels per day this year. Some people are saying that's too low. So when there is pinched supply and OPEC Plus is doing its best to make sure that supply doesn't rise and there's increasing demand, prices tend to go higher. I'm seeing some really positive actions in oil stocks, and I like the oil stocks, but pay me to own them. I really do. I mean, because even if you're wrong in the short term, you know, you get paid. That's okay. So that's the kind of ones we're adding. Refiners should also do well here in the U.S., and I know we shouldn't complain to Canadians about the price of gas. I understand that. But here in the U.S., we are seeing prices creep up, which, considering how much oil there is, really they should be turning that into gasoline, but, you know, they've had outages and stuff like that. And so the price of gasoline is higher than it was just a month ago, and it's probably going higher yet. So refiners are seeing a nice widening of the crack spread. That's the price differential between their inputs, which is oil, and their outputs, which is gasoline, diesel, other fuels like that. And so that's padding their profits quite a bit. I do think people should be investing in refiners. I think they should be investing selectively in oil producers. You have to be very careful there, but there's still opportunities. The pipelines, I mean, U.S. oil production is currently, God, I hate to say this without looking it up. I think it's 13.5 million barrels of oil per day, but I just saw a report that they expect it to rise to 14.3 million barrels of oil per day by the end of this year. Even though U.S. oil companies are drilling, even though U.S. oil companies are drilling less, technology is improving so much that they're actually getting more oil out of the holes they have. So that means that this is a long way of saying there'll be more oil to go through pipelines. So I think pipeline companies are a good investment too. Oil services, you're going to have to be really selective because some people are being hired and other people aren't, but there's still potential there as well. So again, across the energy complex, I think you can make a nice bit of change this summer, depending on what you buy. And it's certainly something I think people should be looking at. Your next question will probably be, let me do a little mind reading here. What about these smallest companies, the junior space? It's tougher for them because one thing that's really improving the output of these larger companies is they're using artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence can crunch all the data that they've had over all the years on all these fields and come up with the absolute best targets. And then they're also using robots, which is cutting down on injuries and stuff like that. And so the really small companies don't really have the money to do that kind of thing. So it might be left behind for a while. But if the price of oil goes to 90, that rising tide is probably going to lift all boats. So I might be investing in the larger companies now, but I wouldn't shy away from the right smaller companies.
AI, is that still a hot stock to get into?
Well, we've had a pullback, a correction in tech, started in February, and it should go through the end of March if seasonal patterns hold. It happens every year. Now, what happens then? I mean, most of the time what happens is tech finds a bottom and it goes higher. And if that happens, then the tech stocks you own, especially those that are linked to AI, are going to do extraordinarily well for the rest of the year. I believe we're in a new tech super cycle. We saw it with the telephone. We saw it with transistors. We saw it with personal computers. We saw it with cell phones. We're seeing a new tech super cycle now, and it's led by artificial intelligence. And it doesn't have to be computer companies. It doesn't have to be software companies. We're seeing artificial intelligence used in all sorts of things, including the aforementioned oil companies, but also drug research companies, medical treatment companies. All these different companies are using artificial intelligence. And so, yeah, I think it could be extraordinarily good. Now, one thing I just read today is that using AI, the bad guys are just bombarding banks right now, hacking into their systems and just making life miserable for them. What does that mean to me? That means certain cybersecurity companies, the ones that actually, you know, work on that kind of thing, are going to do very, very well. So don't think that a company has to have AI in its name or its business statement to think that it's going to do well on the AI trend. A lot of cybersecurity companies are going to do very, very well on it. And so look around, keep your mind open. But yes, AI will be a booster for many stocks going forward.
Will the plan to rebuild America get another boost with the Francis Scott Key's bridge disaster?
It should. We'll see what happens. And I just want to take people on a little trip down memory lane. And of course, this depends on my memory, which is about as good as a rancid piece of Swiss cheese. But there was a bridge in Minneapolis that fell down. And you may remember that it was back during the Bush administration. When that happened, like the next week, the U.S. Congress passed a spending bill, it was hundreds of millions of dollars, passed it unanimously, and Bush signed it. And so that was a big boost. Can that happen in today's Congress? Republicans really don't want to have anything happen that makes Joe Biden look good. And getting a new bill to rebuild the bridge would make Joe Biden look good. So real action on that may have to wait until after the election. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just the way it goes. Now, could we have someone new in the White House? Maybe. Could we have a new Republican Senate that's going to hold things down? Maybe. It's almost for certain that the Republicans will lose the House of Representatives. But if it's a divided Congress, we might not get the action on that we'd like to see. Personally, I would love to see the government rebuild that and rebuild it in a way so it's harder to knock down. Nothing will ever be completely safe, especially the way they build these giant ships that are overloaded to the gills. But there are things they could do to make the bridge better. And I hope they do it. It just, action may be put off. That said, I mean, we are seeing the reindustrialization of America proceed at a rapid pace. There was spending passed 2 years ago. A lot of it's just starting to be spent now. We have stocks in the portfolios that are really reaping the benefits of it, doing very, very well. Everything from roads to construction machinery to you name it. There's a lot of stuff. And if interest rates come down, as I talked about earlier, then we'll start to see more home building and stuff. So that'll boost things as well. And also, as interest rates come down, companies can afford to build new factories. So lower interest rates will help a lot of these things. So I'm not expecting anything immediate on the Francis Scott Key Bridge, but I do expect something eventually. And, again, that depends on who ends up where in Washington, D.C. And certainly the reindustrialization of America, which is already underway, is proceeding at full speed.
Cannabis, is it going to be legalized federally in the U.S.?
Eventually. As the old saying goes, eventually we're all dead. Now, this said, I have a cannabis stock in my personal portfolio, and it's doing very well. I think that you can invest in these stocks selectively. I don't own any Canadian stocks, and, you know, there are some major Canadian cannabis stocks. I was appalled at that overbuilding that I saw going on, and I called it out when it happened. Are those companies run by the same people? Pretty much. So I don't trust their judgment. And I don't trust the judgment of any cannabis company in the U.S. that's losing money right now. They should be making money. And if it's legalized, and especially if they get tax relief through legalization, they'll make a lot more money. That's for sure. But I like companies that make money, and there's very few of those in the cannabis space. So if you invest in that space, you should be very careful.
Coco, were you in on that because the prices there have gone nuts?
Oh, no, I wasn't in on Coco. You know, we've seen big runs in this before. It's really like a short-term squeeze. There's fears that cocoa production in Africa won't work out as hoped. So the price just jumps up. We've seen prices in the stores jump up, even though that was made with cocoa that was purchased long ago. So how come they're raising prices on that candy when the inputs, you know, were cheap. Well, they're doing it because they want to make profits. So eventually it'll go high enough that people will change their consumption, and then the price will come back down. It would have been a nice thing to be riding, but I'm not sure exactly how I do it since I deal mainly in equities. I used to have a future service. Then being long cocoa would have been great. But right now, you know, I'm just watching it from a distance, seeing what happens. Maybe the Easter Bunny will bring some relief. Maybe not.
Truth Social went public, raising anywhere, depending on what time of the day, $3 to $11 billion. Is it a good stock to get into?
No. Do you want more of an explanation on why that is? How to explain Truth Social, okay? That's a company that had a huge jump in its market cap, right? But it has practically no revenue, and it's losing money like a sieve. I mean, just a tremendous amount of money. Trump Media generated just $3.4 million of revenue through the first 9 months of last year, right? And that company lost $49 million over that time span. And now the market thinks that Trump Media is worth $13 billion? Now, I did read that this is one of the hardest stocks to short. It really is. They make it very expensive to short this one. So I'm not sure I'd want to do that. But I sure don't want to buy it. Now, it's a meme stock. Meme stocks can make tremendous gains until things fizzle out. And maybe people are in on that and they want to do it. Good luck. I hope things work out for you. I hope you don't lose your shirt, but I have to say, this looks like a disaster in the making.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's my pleasure.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.